We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'm doing well. I just want to talk to Ike. Ike, I was just wondering, I didn't see the Bronco bucking last night early in that game.
Yeah, well, he's bucking in the second half. He didn't buck in the first half.
Yeah, that hurts, though, when you're trying to win, right? You know, first three quarters, first half. It reminded me of Dallas last year. You don't play a full game. It's tough to beat good teams on the road.
Well, that's breaking news. Thank you.
This voice sounds familiar.
Oh.
Is this Joe Giglio?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that was earlier.
Who the hell's laugh was that?
You. What is that?
That's me?
I don't think it was me.
That was terrible. I don't even, was that me?
It's a fake laugh.
Oh, that was terrible. I didn't even realize I did that.
Yeah, so Jack, you were in cahoots with him? Or did he actually slide by you on the your screen and call?
Slid right by.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
I don't buy that at all.
Jackie O.
All of a sudden, he's at the top of the call screener.
Jackie producer.
Yeah. All right. So Joe Giglio
is that?
In sense gloating. I don't know. That's worse than the Gabe laugh.
I don't either. I don't know. No, that's not worse than the Gabe laugh.
I don't. It's pretty close. It's pretty close. Made my day, Ike. 888-729-9494. All right, tough loss last night, but
I'm glad you guys are making me smile. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you had a long weekend. Not a lot of sleep. You were doing the post game for Eagles.
A lot of losses.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's more importantly, a lot of losses.
A lot of fantasy losses. You kicked my ass in fantasy, though, I believe. But so, how do you feel today? You wake up a little grumpier because you're up until 12:30, 1 o'clock at the earliest, right? Watching the game. How do you wake up maybe grumpy? But now that the day's kind of it's almost 5 o'clock now.
Yeah.
How you feeling now that you've calmed down a little bit? And I feel good. I do. And it's with a caveat. The injuries are worrisome. They're definitely worrisome. You can't lose that much talent, especially on offense, and be okay. Now, if it's only a week or two injury and you can ride out the storm, that's fine. But these games, Ike, are important because you're trying to keep pace with the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are likely going to be 3-0, 4-0 first six games before they play the Eagles. It's kind of a soft schedule, especially because Drew Brees is now out for six weeks. So you don't want to lose too many of these games, obviously. But I feel good otherwise. I do. I mean, I saw an offense right now that when it mattered in the fourth quarter, I know there's struggles early, but mm-hmm. when it mattered last night in the fourth quarter, Carson played his ass off.
Well, I saw a team that for the second week in a row did not come out fast. They did not get off to a fast start. And they were able to come back at home, down 20-7, and win that game. Not able to overcome a 17-6 deficit after that fumble by Corey in the second half. And I'm just looking at it, the team moving forward. I need to know how significant these injuries are and how long these guys are going to be out. But I don't feel any different as far as what I ultimately feel about the team. I don't feel any different as far as that goes because nothing has really changed. I mean, they lost the game. They weren't going to go 16-0, so I knew they were going to lose a game.
Right, you don't think they're falling out of the playoffs after last night.
Right. Now you lose to Detroit, then we'll burn the city down next Monday.
Yes, please no. Please no. Please no.
I'm joking out there, everybody.
Well, no, and by the way.
I got to clarify that. I'm joking.
Even if the injuries from yesterday.
Figuratively burn it down, not literally.
Right, on the phone lines. Yes. They'll burn down the phone lines. Even if the injuries that happened yesterday bleed into next week. At home against the Lions, you still have to beat that team.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you have enough talent. You have Carson Wentz. You got to beat that team. So hopefully that's not the case. But even if it is, Doug's going to have to figure it out. You know, Doug's going to have to figure out what's going on in the first half. Carson Wentz is going to have to figure out what's going on in the first half, too. And, you know, through the first 2 weeks, it hasn't been good. Obviously, it hasn't been good. All right, phone calls. Let's start off with James in Levittown, Pennsylvania. James, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, bud.
What's up, James?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, man, I just want to say, like, dude, I am so proud of the Eagles. I thought they played a heck of a game. They had basically the first drive of the game, they had to take their entire game plan and throw it out the window. They lost three studs right out of the gate. So, I mean, to me, I'm proud of them regardless of what, you know, I didn't want them to lose. Obviously, I'm never happy when they lose. But I thought they played a heck of a game. That just shows you, also shows you how bad Atlanta is, if you ask me.
They fought, that's for sure. They fought. They did. I think we should expect out of this Eagles team. You never see a performance where they don't fight. But you have to overcome injuries in the NFL. So they're going to have to do it.
Oh yeah, and I thought Jim Schwartz coached one of his best games. He finally showed pressure, even though we lost the game. I mean, that huge fumble killed us. That was the dagger, really. Corey Clement fumble. Yeah. That was huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was tough. Jim Schwartz, obviously, I mean, listen, they gave up 24 points. If you're doing a points game, that's a pretty good job by Jim Schwartz. But it definitely felt like that he had a good game plan. He brought extra pressure, which we were complaining. He doesn't blitz a whole heck of a lot. Good day for Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, I thought so. I guess if there's anything I can take out of the game to feel positive about, yeah, it would be the fact that the Eagles seemed aggressive on the defensive side of the ball. And they just sit back and allow Matt Ryan and Julio and Calvin really just pick them apart down the field. They tried to dictate tempo. They tried to speed up Matt Ryan, get the ball out of his hands quickly. So, yeah, I was happy with the way Jim Schwartz called the game last night. I can't really think of any plays out there where I was like, what the hell are we doing? Like, I can't think of any of those. Even the last touchdown to Julio, you know, like I said, tip your cap. That's a professional team over there in the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan checked. They had been seeing the Eagles check to these zero blitzes when they go to the empty formation, and they decided give them empty on 4th and 3, and if they decide to check to a blitz again, we're checking to this. Those are in-game adjustments.
Right.
That's what you do. And true to form, the Eagles checked to that zero blitz when they saw the Falcons in an empty backfield. And once you do that, Matt Ryan knows as long as he gets the ball out there to Julio, at worst, it's going to be a first down.
Right.
At worst. At best, he's going to make the first guy miss, and then it's a foot race.
Right. Yeah, at best, you executed it. It's a touchdown, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I mean, sometimes
I give them credit
for
that. Yeah, I give it. So, yeah, I was good with Jim Schwartz last night. But offensively, I mean, it's two halves.
Yep. No doubt about it. Chris, Pensauken in New Jersey. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
I'm going to rip off both scabs at the same time. The right scab was that play call last night and his scripted plays for 19 games. And I think Howie Rosen, I never really say anything bad about the guy. But I got to tell you, this year I'm a little disappointed. I mean, everybody's like, every time a player comes available, everybody's like, the Eagles are in. They're not in. That's like you and John going to, you take your wives down the shore and you're going to buy a beach property and it's $1 million. And you and John go, we'll buy it for $250. Well, they're not going to sell it to you. He's just lowballing everybody, looking to see if he can catch a fish down the creek, man.
He is.
I mean, Clowney for a third and a fifth. I mean, Fitzpatrick's sitting out there. I probably watch as much college football as you do.
Uh-huh.
When that kid was coming out, they called. Know what they said about that kid? He was Nick Saban in an NFL body. He's 22 years old. You own his rights. They got five teams after him, and two of the teams happen to be the Seahawks and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Cowboys?
Yeah,
of course.
The kid's going to get dealt by Wednesday, and everybody says, the salary cap goes up every year. The Cowboys are signing people. They'll sign Oak Reese and John and Chris for $10 million, and they'll figure out how to get under the salary cap next year. And then with the play call, because I know I'm short for time, and I'm not even mad. I'm just upset, like, basic stuff that I saw. And I played up to high school. I mean, basic stuff. You come out in a way, enclosed environment, away, in shotgun 95% of the time with no play action while you're getting manhandled? That's insane. He should be arrested for assault and battery on Carson Wentz. Then they're getting smoked, and he keeps on running it. Put Dillard out there. Go big. Put Dillard out there as an end. What are you doing, man? That's Pop Warner stuff. You run 31 bellies, 24 dives. You do stuff like that, like your kid's high school team's playing.
31 belly, Ike. What do you think? 24 dive on two. Ready, break. Blue 4-2.
Yeah, I don't think that offense isn't in anymore.
So I formation, Ike, right? Not a lot of I formation these days. They don't even employ a fullback.
What? Yeah, I formation.
This is the NFL in they're running mostly out of shotgun. Even when they run the ball, they're running out of shotgun. Would I like to see Carson under center a little bit? I mean, it changes things up. It changes the look up. Sure. I mean,
Yeah, you know what, though?
I don't know.
All these teams run shotgun
plays. It's the same
thing. Yes, all these teams run the same stuff. No, it's about – and Doug, listen, he took blame. He said it's about the play calls. No, it's about the execution. Maybe sometimes it's the play calls. Sometimes, I mean, we're going to run a toss to Sproles on 3rd and 5 last week. That's a play call. That's not execution. That play's not working with Corey Clement as the lead blocker. That's a play call.
Right.
Yeah, but – not being able to get 3 or 4 yards per carry, that's execution.
Yeah.
And this offensive line, it may not be the best offensive line in all of football, but it certainly is one of the 10 best offensive lines in football.
Yeah, they really had a problem with Atlanta last night. I get it. They're smaller, they're faster, but isn't the answer to that?
Well, listen, they struggled with Washington early in the game.
I know they did. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Washington lost a couple of their key players. And the Eagles start running the ball more effectively in that second half. But in all reality, we got to do a better job up front blocking when it comes to the run game and the passing game. And we're going to always look at Carson. That's part of the deal. He's the quarterback. But if you saw what I saw last night, I saw a dude back there running for his life at times, seeing ghosts. Like when you get hit early and often, now you're expecting hits to come.
If that's a quarterback,
now you're expecting stuff to happen.
If that's a quarterback that doesn't have any ability to get away from pass rush, they lose bad last night.
Oh yeah, they could have got smashed.
They get smashed last night because the plays that were made was Carson Wentz essentially being Houdini.
Yeah, extended plays with his legs. That's all that was
all night long.
Yeah,
and he got crushed even with that. I mean, he should have taken even more punishment if he wasn't as athletic as he was. Let's go to Keith. Actually, Chris and King and Preston is next. Chris, what do you got, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
All right.
I just got a few points on what the Eagles did last night. It was just like – I was just like cringing the whole time watching it. It was really painful. But the main thing that I don't see is like I don't think they're letting Jordan Howard or Miles Sanders get a rhythm with the run game. It's like they just throwing them out there for like 2 plays, then they switch it back. Go back to Miles Sanders, then they go back to Jordan Howard. I think they just need to let one of them get, like, a real good rhythm so that the run game can actually get going, and then it'll keep Carson out of trouble.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I'm wondering if Doug is making an effort to use all 3 guys. And I just think it's hard, especially for a guy like Jordan Howard.
Now, hard to use 2 sometimes.
Yeah, Miles Sanders is a rookie, but he's still a running back. These running backs need multiple carries.
Right.
They need to learn, you know, get a feel for the game, get a feel for how defenses are attacking the run blocking, how to read off the blocks. Okay, I can be a little slower to the backside here because that backside end is fast flowing when we give action to the front side. So now I can see that. I can feel that out there as a running back. Listen, the Eagles or the Falcons didn't run the ball well last night. Falcons gave up on giving the ball to Devontae Freeman also.
Ito Smith got that one run. Other than that, Eagles played great.
Yeah.
They did. They played great.
Looks
against
like both teams played well against the run, and they figured the only way we're going to win this game is by throwing it.
That was it. Well, Pitsy, here's my question, right? It's Mark Sinriso, 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting away from the Tasty Cake Studios. We're live at Chickens and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Malcolm Jenkins is coming up at 5:25. Brandon Graham Show at 6 o'clock. And then the Players Lounge with Ike, a player to be named, and Elliot Short Parks. That's coming up at 7 o'clock.
If Elliot Santalagiglio Parks is going to be anything like Joe today, that's going to be a hell of an hour to have to sit through.
No, he was actually criticizing Doug with the lack of first half stuff, I think. I saw that on Twitter at least.
Oh.
But so here's my question, right?
Different in person.
Because everybody wants to say, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. But if you're Doug How long do you go running the ball when you're only getting 2 yards a pop, right? So now you're putting yourself at third. You have a third and seven, right? Incomplete. Now you're punting the ball. Then you get the ball back again. Are you rushing to run the ball again? 2 yards. Now you're second and eight, second and long. And then you run it again. You only get a yard. Now it's third and long again. How long do you do it before you have to say it's not working?
Well, Doug's not going to do it very, very, very long.
And you know what, Ike? I wouldn't either.
Yeah, he's not going to do it very long. And I agree with you. This isn't, in my opinion, about becoming some sort of run-first team. No, we are a passing team. That's what we are. But you still got to be able to run the ball.
But is he looking at it like that they're not blocking up front? And if the blocking's not happening up front, well, you can keep doing the same thing over and over again, or you can try to change some things up. I don't know.
Right.
I agree with you. Jordan Howard needs to get the ball more. He's only been – Jordan Howard's been in on 22% of the snaps. He has 14 rush attempts in two games.
How many yards?
I don't have that. Sanders has 21 rushes, and Sproles has 9 rushes. I can Google it real
fast. Yeah, so you're looking at 44 rushing attempts in two games, 22 a game.
A little light. Now, last week you had to throw the ball.
Sure. Well, really.
You're coming back.
Well, and that's the thing. These coaches, and we will say, well, the game was close. You could have ran the ball. Because these coaches' philosophy is to throw the ball to get the lead and run to seal the victory.
Yep, yeah.
Most of these coaches aren't under the philosophy of we're going to run to get
the
lead.
No, they want to run out the clock.
Yes, that's the only time they really want to run is when they want to run out the clock.
So Jordan Howard has 62 yards on 14 carries, 4.4 average. Miles Sanders, 21 attempts for 53 yards, 2.5 yards a carry. Sproles is 9 for 47. He didn't get a carry yesterday. He had all 9 carries in the first game.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Miles Sanders has not been impressive in his first two games. And you had said earlier that a lot of that is just him being a rookie. But he hasn't been making guys miss. He's certainly not – he's not effective. He's not – he's trying to – looks like it says – looks like he's trying to bounce everything outside and he's not mm-hmm. able to hit the hole or make anything happen. But, you know, not an impressive start to his career.
Yeah, I don't think any of these guys have been impressive running the football, with the exception of short spurts last week versus the Redskins.
A carry or two for Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Keith in Houston, Texas. Keith, how do you got? What's up?
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
All right.
I got a lot of points to make in a short time.
Hurry up.
Atlanta is bums. Y'all went up against preseason guys. Y'all went up against second string, third string guys, okay, that projected Aguilar as your number one? Come on. They play a different defense if Jack is there. They play a different defense if Alshon is playing. So if we even feed off of last week, we can't because he had to burn his whole playbook. He had to burn it, and we start all over again. Atlanta was allowed to cheat. They had to put another man in the box. They got a linebacker that usually run with people. He's not going to run with Jack. Nobody out there going to run with Jack. So they can cheat on defense. Like, Atlanta's so good. Atlanta's garbage. They're garbage. Y'all playing against second and third string receivers that made catches on y'all. And J.J. Whiteside, he tried to connect with him. There's no connection.
Yeah.
No,
at all.
Not yet.
Okay? Now you got, Hollins coming in, having to make catches?
Yeah.
Come on. A lot of stuff was hidden because the two main receivers are not in there. So these guys can cheat up. Salamalo, whatever his name is, he need to come out of there. He got knocked on his butt like 3 times yesterday. 3 times.
Yeah, he got pushed back into Carson on that one play. And that's not even counted in the 2 sacks that he gave up, the 3 penalties, the 6 hurries.
And they drive. I mean, bad enough they're getting beat up now. Now we drive it. Now we got to come back and reset. It's not going to happen. Now, if Jack and them, I hate to use this as an excuse, but 3 main players, we play with 1 tight end. Come on, pin your ears back and go for it. You're pinning your ears back. Come on now. You're pinning your ears back and you're going to this man. If you got Jack and him out there, it's a whole different ball. And they blow Atlanta out.
Yeah,
Atlanta,
and maybe
it was camouflaged.
Yeah, you may be right. Maybe they blow Atlanta out. I don't think so.
Well, maybe they win.
Yeah, but yeah, certainly maybe they win. I think they do win if you have those other guys in there. But I'll say that may be a reason why the game was as close as it was, right? But you also have to look at the negative plays. You also have to look at the turnovers. I understand that not having D-Jack, Alshon, and Dallas Goedert out there made things a little tougher. I get that. But this team is good enough that they put themselves in position. And I know it had a lot to do with Carson being magical late in the game, Nelson making some plays, all that stuff is part of it. I get it. Bottom line is, it's late in that game when you had the opportunity to make plays. You didn't do it. I mean, I love Zach Ertz. You got to run that route past that first down marker. It's fourth down, not third down. It's fourth down. Yeah. There's no way you come up with that catch without it being a first down. You have to know that. And if they get that first down there, I'm thinking they're going on to win the game.
Yep.
Because now we got four more plays.
And enough time.
For Carson to find somebody, right? And listen, maybe Carson doesn't. But I
yeah, that momentum was
it was all in the Eagles' favor, man. Yep. It was all in the Eagles' favor. Yep. So, you know, I look at that game last night and I say, I'm disappointed because this team overcame all those other things and didn't close it, didn't seal the deal. This isn't some young team with a rookie quarterback. This is not 2016 where we're taking moral victories. This is a Super Bowl contending team. Now, does it mean they're not going to be in the Super Bowl or they won't win a division because they lost yesterday? No. But it does mean my expectations every week are different. Like I got high expectations, and if you're not going to go out there and play up to those expectations, then we're going to look at you with a critical eye. And that's part of it. And the first half yesterday was not acceptable. I don't care who wasn't out there. It's not acceptable.
Let's go to Bob in Wilmington, Delaware. Bob, how are you, buddy?
We're doing just great. How are you guys doing tonight?
All right.
What's up, Bob?
Yeah, you know what? I kind of agree. This could be a lot with Ike on this. I mean, Christ, he held the ball 5 minutes longer than Atlanta during the whole game. We self-imploded.
Yep.
Exactly what we did. We 100% self-imploded with the interceptions, the return of Clements fumble. We lost the game. Atlanta didn't beat us. I think we totally lost that game.
Well, I mean, you know what, Bob? I think that the turnovers kind of canceled themselves out because they had three interceptions, and Carson had two interceptions, and then Clement had the fumble, which set them up for a score. But Matt Ryan's one interception set the Eagles up for a score.
Right.
You know, I mean, Bob, it came down to one play. It did. It came down to one play on a 4th-and-3, where if the Eagles could have stopped there, the game could be over. The Eagles drove inside the 10-yard line. So
one play
did they give that game away? Man, I mean, I don't know. It's semantics to even.
I don't think they gave the game away.
No. See, Atlanta made a play, man.
Yeah, Atlanta made a play. So I will give them credit for that, right? You got to give Atlanta credit for that. And you're right about the turnovers sort of canceling each other out.
Yeah.
But when I have a quarterback who doesn't really throw interceptions. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, and to have 2-1 game,
bad ones too.
That's not him. That's not him. So he got off to somewhat of a slow start for whatever reason. It takes him a little while to get settled in there. And by the time they did get settled in, you had a great football game on hand, but we just couldn't seal the deal.
Back to the phones, Derek. West Philadelphia. Derek, how are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, brother?
What's up, Dave?
You know how you be on hold. I took a little piece of the hoagie. And then y'all, as soon as I take a piece, Derek, I said, uh-oh, let me clear my throat. Let me simplify this to y'all.
Yeah.
It's the curse of Nick Foles. That's what's going on. The people getting injured, the quarterbacks in preseason. The whole team going down on one before even the game even start. Nick Foles himself goes out. That's what's going on. The curse of me. Ain't that going to go right? And remember, Derek from West Philly said, I know Ike going to chew me up.
No, I'm not.
But okay, good. But you're going to chew me up anyway.
You got one of those voodoo dolls at home?
I'm not going to chew you up. I'm just letting you go because it's a ridiculous
statement,
okay, but I'm just letting you go. I know, okay, see, I ain't comment, but can you explain all these injuries and stuff? from preseason on, all the whole team, all the starters going out and one before they even hiked the ball. Isn't that kind of spooky?
Yeah, the football guys. Well, I think Goddard was the only one who didn't get to play a snap. Deshaun and Alshon actually did play last night in that first series. They just couldn't finish the game. And then as far as, you know, the injuries with the other players, that's just it's football, man. That's a part of it. It's part of football. It's football.
Is he a grown man that believes in curses, or was he a
that was crazy.
Believe me, it's a lot of people that are grown that believe in curses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it voodoo dolls with the pins? Is that Gilligan's Island? You had that.
Who has a voodoo doll?
Him, Derek.
Oh.
Or somebody does. I don't know.
I don't know.
Jack, you have a voodoo doll at home? No.
No.
All right. Let's go to Clay in Delaware. Clay, how are you?
Hey guys, the 17 season started out kind of similar. We opened in D.C., and if not, you know, I was at that game. Everybody knew Kirk Cousins was going to lead them down the field because that's what he did when he played. You know, when of course that was when he saw him play for Redskins. Second game, we lost at Kansas City. And if not for Jake Elliott, we start 1-2. If not, Landis Carson's come back and all that, too. But that kick, you know, that kind of turned our season around.
Yeah.
There's up in Miami, every team is coming to play. And I think that, you know, obviously we convert the fourth down, we win the game. No doubt. No doubt about it. The momentum was on our side. Even the drop that Aguilar had, and how much money did Aguilar and Ronald Darby cost themselves last night with their performance for next year's contract, wherever they are, if they're with us or if not. I mean, they both kind of, you know. But I had Atlanta as a loss. Now, we got to split Minnesota and Green Bay to still be on track to, you know, have a first-round bye, I think. But I had Atlanta as a loss. Double revenge for them from the last 2 years. I'm not upset at all.
Mm. That's a good way to look at it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, would I rather have a win? Yeah, of course. I think we all would. Yeah, but now you got to sneak a win that you earlier in the season probably thought you weren't winning.
Yeah, I think when you're early in the season, you got a lot of football left to play. A lot of things are going to change. I don't know. If anyone's outlook on the season has changed, nothing has happened to change my outlook on the season to this point. So I'm good. I'm good with that. You got to go out and find a way to win this game Sunday at home versus Detroit. Right? Like this may be survival of the fittest with this season. We're going to see who's left standing, how many people have all of their guys standing up at the end of the season, who's playing best. At the end of the season, I mean, you're 1-1.
Yeah.
You're 1-1. You're not 0-2. You're 1-1.
Mm-hmm. 20% off all windows and doors. No money down. Up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call them today. Goddard Door and Window, 877 GO Goddard, or visit goguida.com. Let's go back to the phones with Donald in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. Donald, how are you? Donald! No, Donald. Donald was going to say we should have traded Aguilar. And actually, last night watching the game, my thought was, thank God we didn't trade Aguilar. You would have had literally nobody out there running around.
That's right.
You know, I mean, listen, the drop was bad, but you're gonna need him, especially with Deshaun. We said this, but if you go back and look at how many games he plays a year, he misses a couple games a year, whether it's 1, 2, 3 games, and it's normally because of groins, hamstrings, and things like that. So thank God you had the depth last night. Let's go to Cliff in Voorhees, New Jersey. Hi, Cliff. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, brother?
What up, Cliff?
What's going on? So I was actually looking at Pro Football Reference today, and I noticed something about both the 2017 and the 2003 Eagles. So starting off with the 2003 Eagles, when we went to the NFC Championship and lost, that's still considered a successful season. The first two games of the season, Ike, you would know because you played these games, we lost the first Tampa Bay, who was a weak team, and then we lost to New England Patriots. I know it's, like, not so relevant, but once we fast forward in time, go to when Carson Wentz is having his best year of his career, having his MVP season, and we win the Super Bowl, the second game of the season, we face the Chiefs, who are a good team, like the Falcons. They didn't have Mahomes yet, but they are still deadly. They still had Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt and Alex Smith, who was pretty good. And we had a weak first half, and we came back and started rolling. And then look what happened. We exploded. And then we had this ridiculous winning streak all the way up to Seattle until we lost, right? So, honestly, I'm not too worried about this because Deshaun's probably not too hurt. I read a few articles today and saw some things on Twitter that was saying he should be back next week. Maybe he won't be 100%, but he'll still be here. Alshon would probably be okay. What are you getting at? Calf? So he could probably be out 1 to 2 weeks, hopefully at minimum. So, and we still have some guys that we have to develop. Like Sanders did not get the ball enough last night. That's a guy you have to develop. So I think you start putting the ball in his hands more, start putting some pressure off of Wentz. I think you have a good season ahead of you, you know?
All right, Cliff, appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we haven't heard many people today like that are calling in saying, oh, I don't think they make the playoffs now. It's only one loss.
Right.
Let's go to Dennis, Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Dennis, how are you, buddy? What's
gentlemen,
up?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
All right.
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, Ike, I know if they don't start scoring more in the first quarter, half, I'm going to have to increase my, you know, inventory of Ike juice.
Yeah, get him some.
One of the things they should do is if they win the toss, take the ball. They'll give them more touches. What do you think?
Huh.
You know, I know some of these coaches, they like having the ball coming out of the locker room. I've always felt when you win the toss, you put your best unit on the field.
Hmm.
That's the way I've always felt.
That would be the offense.
Yes. Hmm. But when you're on the road, sometimes you want the ball coming out of the locker room.
So what did Andy used to do?
He wanted the offense on the field.
So he wanted the offense on the field. Didn't matter home or away?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
See, I always –
back then, I didn't care because if we were going defense first, that meant I was going out on kickoff.
Right.
And if we were going offense, that meant we were doing kick return. I can't remember Andy's sort of
– Yeah, I think he didn't really have a
– Right.
Sometimes he would kick it off. Sometimes he would defer and take it for the second half. I always like when you have the ball in the second half. I always like getting that second half kick and having the ball. Because then you can even, if you can score going into the half, then you get the ball right after that.
Right.
Problem
that's what
is,
the Patriots try to do.
Right.
Well, the Eagles almost did that. That's what they should have done. They got a field goal right before the half, and then they were getting the ball coming out of the locker room until we fumbled it.
If there's one play that there was a crippler in that game, and I know the Nelson drop is obvious, but Corey fumbling the ball coming out of half. I mean, because that led to a score with Atlanta. So very quickly, it was 10-6. You're thinking touchdown, take the lead. Now it's 17-6.
Yep.
Back to the phones. Mike in Springfield. Mike, how are you?
Hey, guys. One of the things I wanted to ask you, with the Eagles having all these injuries, you know, it seemed like, you know, guys always going in and out of the tent. Do you think this is, and I know it's not just the Eagles, right? Three NFL starting quarterbacks out for a long period of time or the whole season. Do you think this is the result of not playing guys in the preseason, that now they're all getting injured, you know, week one, week two?
I do believe it's part of it. I do believe
that. And what can the Eagles do to prevent this? Because to me, the teams that win the Super Bowl, like when the Eagles won, I think some of the key is just not getting injured, right? Keeping your guys healthy, I think, is a big part of winning. I mean, what can you do to avoid this? Should they be the one team to play the guys in the preseason, do you think?
No, they wouldn't be the one team. There are several teams that play their guys. Everybody doesn't have the same rule. Did I not see Tom Brady playing in the preseason this year?
He did.
Well, I believe I did.
Yeah, he's always out there.
Right?
They're not worried about him getting hurt.
The greatest football player of all time.
So Breeze.
If Tom Brady can play in the preseason, I think everybody can play in the preseason.
Breeze had a thumb injury, and that was, I wouldn't say that's related to playing or
not playing
in the preseason.
Right. Yep.
Nick Foles just gets hurt. He's just, when he takes a shot, he normally gets hurt. He took a shot and he got hurt. Roethlisberger, you don't see many guys. I'm assuming it's a Tommy John type injury because it's an elbow.
Uh-huh.
He's out for the season. He has to have surgery.
Yeah.
do you remember quarterbacks having an injury like that with the elbow where it's, I mean, normally it's a shoulder or something like that. Normally the elbow is reserved for
pitchers.
Pitchers, yeah.
Yeah, nah. I can't think of a quarterback. I'm pretty sure there may have been some, but I can't think of any. With an elbow injury, yeah.
It's weird, man. Let's go to Chris, Washington Township, New Jersey. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, bro?
What's up, Chris?
Not much, man. Yeah, I ain't worried about them not starting the guys through the preseason. Maybe a couple games towards the last two, maybe. Would have been all right, but I just think it's just like, you know, it's like weather, man. These guys got used to it. Work out the kinks. At least there was no major injuries. A couple cramps here and there, whatever it may be, keep them out.
Well, we did get a major injury last week. Malik Jackson is gone for the season.
Yeah, that was a big one. I didn't want to see him go out. I mean, you're going to have injuries. You got to bear through it. I just, you know, wish we didn't have them in week one and two. You know what I mean?
Or you can say it's best to get them out of the way now so guys will be back.
Can be back, yeah.
Yeah, as long as these aren't season-ending injuries and Tim Jernigan is probably going to miss a month or so with a broken foot, then you got to worry about him being in shape because he's a big man.
So the problem now is with Jernigan, you're not IRing him, so now you're going to have to sign somebody to the active roster, which means someone's going to have to get cut unless they maneuver somebody else going on the IR. So now you're talking about having two players that essentially weren't on NFL rosters just 2 weeks ago, right? They signed the guy from the Dolphins who got cut in training camp. They signed him to replace Malik Jackson. Now you're going to be having somebody signed to replace Tim Jernigan. You know, now you're talking about depth.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the one thing that the Eagles were sort of lacking on that side of the ball, particularly at the defensive line.
I think Fletcher played last night because Chris Collinsworth talked about it a little bit. Of course, I was listening to the Merrill and Mike most of the night, but I heard Collinsworth talk about it. And he was asking, I know Fletcher Cox is out there, but he wasn't playing in preseason. He wasn't really practicing in training camp. You wonder how healthy he is. Good game two for Fletcher?
I mean, listen, D tackles. They didn't run the ball last night, so.
Yeah, really at all.
I mean, he didn't get any sacks, but he's also going to get the most attention of anybody on the defensive line. I thought he played okay. With defensive linemen, it's hard to know what they do out there unless you go rewatch the film, break down what they were supposed to be doing, or unless they have the flash plays, the sacks,
you notice
tackle
the,
for yeah, loss, things of that nature. They didn't run the ball on him, so I'm assuming he played well. He didn't play like a dominant defensive player, if that's what you're asking.
No, he did not, though.
Yeah.
Brandon had a really good first half. He had a couple pressures, had a tackle for a loss.
Yeah.
You had mentioned earlier, but
I thought the whole defense played well last
night. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, the defense.
They played the rest off.
Had three turnovers.
Yeah.
Yep. What you want them to do?
888-729-9494.
How about tackle Julio on 4th-and-3?
It's the one thing they could have done, Ike. It's the one thing.
The block in the back?
Yeah, so did you think that was a...
No.
Yeah, I
they're never going to call that.
I tend to agree with you.
Looks like a block in the back, but they're never going to call that.
Well, if it's a kickoff return, they'll think about calling something like that. On that kind of a play...
No, that's what I'm saying. On that play, that's a rocket screen. They're not calling that. They don't know if the player took a dive or anything. They're not calling it.
You very rarely will see
it. Yeah, they ain't calling it. What are you going to do? Want to complain about calls?
That's what Fritz does.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you going to do?
All right, 888-729-9494.
I don't know.
Here's what we got before Brandon Graham show's coming up at 6 o'clock. We have Malcolm Jenkins coming up next, and we'll finish up with phone calls as well. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Malcolm Jenkins coming up next.
Hey, this football season, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving everyone $1 million cash, but you have to win to keep it. In FanDuel Sportsbook's free Keep the Cash game, you'll start out with $1 million, and throughout the course of the season, you'll answer 20 yes or no sports betting questions. For each question, you can put some of your cash on yes, and you can put some of it on no. Then you'll keep the amount of cash you put on the correct answer. Now, after you answer 20 questions in total, whatever you have left is yours to keep. So play FanDuel Sportsbook free. Keep the cash game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.